First scripture lesson this morning is from James chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. Come now, you rich people, weep and wail for the miseries that are coming to you. Your riches have rotted, and your clothes are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver have rusted, and their rust will be evidenced against you, and they will eat your flesh like fire. You have laid up treasure for the last days. Listen, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out, and the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. You have lived on the earth in luxury and in pleasure. You have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered the righteous one who does not resist you. Second readings from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 19 through 24. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consume, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. The word of God for the people of God.
And let us pray. Glorious God, as your word has been read, we pray now that it would be proclaimed, not only through the mouth of a fallible preacher, but through the minds, the hearts, and the souls of the faithful gathered here. So come, Lord Jesus, speak to us a word of truth in the midst of our chaos. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the question for us this morning is, how can we spend less so that we can give more, so that we may love all more effectively? As we look at the Advent conspiracy, this is really where the rubber meets the road, because as we learned last week, as Americans, on average, we spend $450 billion a year just on Christmas. Now, let that sink in just for a moment. $450 billion every year just on Christmas. Now, it's not about saying, well, the pastor's all Scrooge-like now, and he's, you know, doesn't want us to have fun at Christmas, doesn't want us to give gifts. That's not true. I want us to rethink what Christmas is, what it's become, and what it was created to be. So as we look at what it means to spend less, it means to spend less on gifts, but it means to spend more in our families. Now that's a play on words, if you will. To spend less money on gifts that for people that already have too much, usually already. Wednesday night during the Bible study, I shared that my dad was the most difficult man to ever buy anything for, because if he wanted it, he went and bought it. And so when it came time for what's daddy want for Christmas, and my mom would say, well, your daddy's already gotten it. And I'm like, okay. So my gift for my dad would always be something for LSU. You know, he already had every hunting thing that he ever wanted, because long before there was the internet, there was the Cabela's catalog and the telephone. So spending less so that we can give more. Spending less so that we can spend more time, because that's really what the gift of Christmas is about. It's about a time of relationship with our families. But sometimes we're so busy trying to find the perfect gift that we miss out on giving the perfect gift, which is ourself, in the midst of Christmas. So as James tells us in the midst of this, that money for us has become a problem, that many have drifted away from the fold, from the walk of Christ because of their love of money. And then Jesus tells us in the midst of his Sermon on the Mount that, you know, money has been a problem. Now, I'm not an anti-capitalist. Hear me on that. But I do believe that we've allowed money in our culture, in our society, to dictate everything. To dictate, because when we size ourselves up in our society, we size it up by how much money you make, what neighborhood you live in, what job you have. All of that surrounds income. What could Christmas look like if we thought about money differently? As our children shared with us this morning, you know, whether you have $1 or $52 or $1 million, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? Are you going to keep it all? Are you going to spend some of it? Are you going to save some of it? Are you going to donate some of it? What could Christmas look like if we thought about money differently? What could Christmas look like if we chose to go against society? If we chose to demonstrate, and I'm not talking about going out and blocking a highway, but if we demonstrate within our families what it means to spend less so that we can spend more, that we can make gifts that matter for each other. And sometimes that's a coupon book. A coupon book that Monday nights will be movie night. Friday nights will be game night, and then you actually redeem your coupon with each other so that you can spend more time together and spend less on keeping up with the Joneses. You know, as we think about what Christmas has become for us, it's become that perfect Christmas. Madison Avenue started for us long ago. Instead of that God came into the world through the helpless babe of Jesus to deliver us from our sin, to deliver us from our greed, to deliver us from our envy, from our jealousy, to deliver us from keeping up with the Joneses. And when we sing Joy to the World or Peace on Earth, or when we sing Silent Night, we're singing about the advent of God loving us enough to come into the world to save us. See, that's what Christmas is about. It's not about the perfect gift. It's not about going out and spending tons and tons of money that possibly we don't have. Because really what happens in the midst of our family budgets here in the United States of America is that we've become indebted so much because of Christmas that it's well into the summer, if not into the fall, before we're able to pay off Christmas of last year, and then we're getting ready to spend for Christmas this year. Do you see where the problem might lie? Sometimes when we think about spending for our families, especially in Christmas, it helps to keep some simple formulas in our minds. You know, to set a limit on the number of gifts per person. And in the Advent Conspiracy, we invite you to give one less gift each year. You know, thinking about the three gift rule, it was good enough for Jesus. It probably is good enough for your child. Or if you want to think of another number of four gifts, one that they want, one that they need, one that they can wear, and one that they can read. Or perhaps you can do the fun game of Angry Santa, where you bring a gift and it's wrapped and then you draw numbers and then the first number gets it, and then if they unwrap it, and then the second person gets to choose whether they want to steal that or not. I'm not advocating stealing, but it is a humorous game, of which I got stuck with cooking spoons that I made fun of prior to the game. So anyway, there is justice involved. Or you can give with purpose. And last week we had Heifer International giving a goat or a sheep or a rabbit or a chicken in the name of your child or your brother or your sister. Or you can give to the Hope Services or toward the Advent Conspiracy in honor of someone, so that gift has meaning and purpose that can go and proclaim Christ in the world. Remember, that's what Christmas is about, right? So I believe that Christmas can still change the world. And that begins when the Church of Jesus Christ takes very seriously what it means to be Christ in the world. To worship more fully. To spend less so that we can give more. So that all may be loved in the name of Christ. Amen. 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 Well, as we prepare for Holy Communion this morning, I want to encourage you to remember that in the midst of Jesus' life, he loved. He loved fully and graciously, and he gave of himself, his whole self.